He looked at Amaranta, who stood indecisively 2 steps behind Ursula, and he smiled as he asked her, "What happened to your hand?" Amaranta raised the hand with the black bandage. "A burn," she said, and took Ursula away so that the horses would not run her down. The troop took off. A special guard surrounded the prisoners and took them to the jail at a trot. At dusk, Ursula visited Colonel Aureliano Buendía in jail. She had tried to get permission through Don Apolinar Moscote, but he had lost all authority in the face of the military omnipotence. Father Nicanor was in bed with hepatic fever. The parents of Colonel Gerineldo Márquez, who had not been condemned to death, had tried to see him and were driven off with rifle butts. Facing the impossibility of finding anyone to intervene, convinced that her son would be shot at dawn, Ursula wrapped up the things she wanted to bring him and went to the jail alone. "I am the mother of Colonel Aureliano Buendía," she announced. The sentries blocked her way. "I'm going in any case," Ursula warned them. "So if you have orders to shoot, start right now." She pushed one of them aside and went into the former classroom, where a group of half-dressed soldiers were oiling their weapons. An officer in a field uniform, ruddy-faced, with very thick glasses and ceremonious manners, signaled to the sentries to withdraw. "I am the mother of Colonel Aureliano Buendía," Ursula repeated. "You must mean," the officer corrected her with a friendly smile, "that you are the mother of Mr. Aureliano Buendía." Ursula recognized in his affected way of speaking the languid cadence of the stuck-up people from the highlands. "As you say, Mr.," she accepted, "just as long as I can see him." There were superior orders that prohibited visits to prisoners condemned to death, but the officer assumed the responsibility of letting her have a 15-minute stay. Ursula showed him what she had in the bundle: a change of clean clothing, the short boots that her son had worn at his wedding, and the sweet milk candy that she had kept for him since the day she had sensed his return. She found Colonel Aureliano Buendía in the room that was used as a cell, lying on a cot with his arms spread out because his armpits were paved with sores. They had allowed him to shave. The thick mustache with twisted ends accentuated the sharp angles of his cheekbones. He looked paler to Ursula than when he had left, a little taller, and more solitary than ever. He knew all about the details of the house: Pietro Crespi's suicide, Arcadio's arbitrary acts and execution, the dauntlessness of José Arcadio Buendía underneath the chestnut tree. He knew that Amaranta had consecrated her virginal widowhood to the rearing of Aureliano José, and that the latter was beginning to show signs of quite good judgment, and that he had learned to read and write at the same time he had learned to speak. From the moment in which she entered the room, Ursula felt inhibited by the maturity of her son, by his aura of command, by the glow of authority that radiated from his skin. She was surprised that he was so well informed. "You knew all along that I was a wizard," he joked, and he added in a serious tone, "This morning, when they brought me in, I had the impression that I had already been through all that before. In fact, while the crowd was roaring alongside him, he had been concentrating his thoughts, startled at how the town had aged. The leaves of the almond trees were broken. The houses, painted blue, then painted red, had ended up with an indefinable coloration." "What did you expect?" Ursula sighed. "Time passes." "That's how it goes," Aureliano admitted, "but not so much." In that way, the long-awaited visit, for which both had prepared questions and had even anticipated answers, was once more the usual everyday conversation. When the guard announced the end of the visit, Aureliano took out a roll of sweaty papers from under the cot. They were his poetry, the poems inspired by Remedios, which he had taken with him when he left, and those he had written later on during chance pauses in the war. "Promise me that no one will read them," he said. "Light the oven with them this very night."